You turn to the person next to you and say, Jesus is here and anything can happen. Now turn to that other person that was your second choice, number two. Say, Jesus is here, anything can happen. We'll talk to you today about a story that I found in the Old Testament that I believe will cause you and I to consider how valuable it is to connect to the world that God has us in, which is really His world. We're going to look at the book of Jonah that is found in the Old Testament. And Jonah has a lot of different titles when you study it. One of the titles I came across was The Preacher Who Ran. The Preacher Who Ran. It's the story of the preacher who ran. But really, when you read the story of Jonah, it's just four chapters in the Old Testament. It's kind of sneaky. It's right there by the minor prophets. And we've been studying the minor prophets on Wednesday nights. But the minor prophets, they may be called that, but they had major impact. And they continue to have major impact when we look to them as our source of truth. And in the book of Jonah, it's only four chapters. It's not that many verses. But it's, when you read it, you see this complete story. Even though it's small in nature, it is large in the wholeness of a story about the compassion of God, the concern of God for people. But then also, it's the journey of a hard-hearted prophet that God wants to use to reach people. Now, most of you know his deal. You learn it in Sunday school, even if you were not brought up in Sunday school, don't have a church background, which is, that's fine. Wherever you come from, whatever your background is, you know, in all of them, there's probably some thread of knowledge about Jonah. It's just kind of a known story among people. And some of you know the story, some of you are not familiar with the story. I'll just kind of go over it for a few minutes. Here's the deal. God saw a people in a place called Nineveh. And it was a large city. And they were people that didn't know a lot about him. They were people that were not living for him. They were people that had let things in their life, had let things in their world, had let things in their value system and in their culture that didn't look anything like our Heavenly Father. And God looked down and saw this evil. God saw all this craziness that was going on in Nineveh. Matter of fact, Nineveh, they were the main enemies of Israel, God's people. They had done some wicked things in Israel. They had come against the people of God. And God watched all this because God is aware of what's happening on planet Earth. He knows exactly what's going on. So God watches all this, and God makes a decision that he wants to give these people who were away from him, who didn't act anything like him, he wanted to give them a chance. Give them a chance. Could you imagine where you and I would be if it was not for a God who gives a second chance? How many of you here and you're not working on your second chance? You're like on your 80th. I mean, you're up there. But God looks down and sees these people and just something in his heart, because he's a God that cares about the whole world. He just immediately thinks, I want to do something about that. So he picks one of his boys. He picks Jonah. Jonah has a general concern for the world. He's in Israel. He's doing his thing. He's loving God. He believes in God. But then God shows up and says, Jonah, I've got a task for you. I want you to go to Nineveh, and I want you to tell those people that I care about them, that I love them, that I want to save them, that I want to know them. And if they'll listen to my words, then I'll redeem them. But if they do not listen to my words, then I'm going to crush them. I'm going to burn them up. I'm going to bring my judgment, and I'm going to wipe them off the planet. Now, Jonah likes that idea. He thinks that's a good idea. Good idea, God. I like this idea. Kill them, scatter them out, mess them up. I like that idea. But Jonah does not like the part of God's commandment that says, go there and preach, and if they obey, then I'll bring mercy. But if they don't obey, then I'm not going to bring mercy. Jonah locks in on that. As God begins to unfold this plan to him, he realizes that God is the kind of God that if they do repent, if they do turn to him, he would probably save them. And he doesn't like that idea. So the Bible says that Jonah ran. And Jonah gets out of there because he doesn't believe his enemies ought to get mercy. So Jonah runs. He runs from God. And of all places, Jonah gets in a boat. People that run from God do crazy things. If you're running from God, don't get in a boat. There's a lot of stuff out there that can hurt you. Get in a padded room. I mean, when you run from God, you don't go skydiving. Come on, somebody. You don't bungee jump. Don't swim with the sharks when you're running from God. Bad situation. Not only does he run from God, the Bible tells us that he gets on a boat, and he gets on a boat with some people. Well, when you run from God, you not only are a danger to yourself, if you're not careful, you can become a danger to other people. When you run from God, Jonah's running from God. He ends up on a boat. There's people there. Well, you know the story. God stirs up a storm, and everybody's in danger. So after a couple days, they decide to throw Jonah overboard. It just goes from bad to worse. It just gets terrible. Well, he ends up in the belly of a fish. That's what the Bible says. In the belly of a great fish. Jonah gets swallowed and then gets digested up in a big old fish's belly. And he's still alive. And the Bible says he's there for 3 days in the belly of a fish. I believe he was swallowed by a fish because the Bible says it, and I believe the Bible. And you know what? In the belly of the fish, guess what he does? He prays. He gets real spiritual. It's amazing the things that make us all spiritual. Come on, somebody. Got all spiritual up in there. Lord, I'm going to die. I'm getting spiritual, spiritual. Turn to your neighbor and say, you need to be spiritual. Spiritual, spiritual, spiritual. He gets all spiritual. Oh, Lord. Oh, God. Save me. Please, please, Mr. God. Oh, Lord. Just prays this random prayer. Just, oh, Lord, help us. And just goes kind of all over the map and just kind of praying, praying. And you know what God does? God does the most amazing thing. God has mercy on him and gives the fish reflux, and the fish burps Jonah up on the beach. I knew burping was a spiritual thing. My son burps good. And he'll walk into the living room. I mean, listen, he'll burp just real loud, just amazing burp. All the girls are just grossing out. And I'm like, that was sweet. Whew, that was a great one. His dads are into that. Burps him up on the beach. Jonah decides to head to Nineveh. Now, he's been going in the opposite direction. So he heads to Nineveh. And the Bible tells us that Jonah preaches. And he preaches a fast and furious message. God's going to come down and kill you. God can't stand you. You make God sick. And if you don't turn around, hope you don't. God's going to kill y'all. That's what I'm hoping for. So it's all over, probably. And it's just this narrow, quick, fast message. Because they were wicked people. They were idolatrous people. And they were, it was, the Bible says they were evil in all their ways. And so Jonah strolled through the city. Basically, the Bible gives us a picture that he walked straight through the city and preached and never stopped. Fast and furious. Well, the message that Jonah preached got all the way to the king's ears. And guess what happened? God showed up in that man's heart. God took that message and convicted his heart. And that king, all of a sudden, bowed his knee to God Almighty. You know, there's some people that we think are too hard for God. There's some people that we think are too far from God. There's some people that we think are not worth saving. There's probably a few people in here that your friends still think you're lying when you tell them you come to Healing Place. They don't think, there's no way he goes to church. There's no way she goes to church. How many 10, 15, 20 years ago, this was not the first place they would find you on Sunday morning? Come on, somebody. I mean, amazing how God can reach people that we think are unreachable. Sometimes that we give up on, God does not give up on. Come on, somebody. And so God reaches his heart. And the Bible says that he repents in his heart. And the whole nation goes into repentance and mourning. And they heed the word of Jonah. The people listen, they repent, and the Bible says that God relented. That is a huge word. God relented. That means that God held back and gave him a second chance. You would have thought Jonah would have been excited about it. Not the case at all. So look at our text, Jonah chapter 3, verse 11. When God saw that they had put a stop to their evil ways, he had mercy on them and didn't carry out the destruction he had threatened. Oh, that's a great verse. Didn't carry out the destruction he had threatened. This change of plans upset Jonah, and he became very angry. So he complained to the Lord about it. Didn't I say before I left home that you would do this, Lord? That is why I ran to Tarshish. I knew that you are a gracious and compassionate God, slow to get angry and filled with unfailing love. I knew how easily you would cancel your plans for destroying the people. Just kill me now, Lord. Kill me now. He goes on to say, I'd rather be dead than alive because nothing I predicted is going to happen. He only remembered part of his prediction. You know what that tells us? That really the message was all about Jonah. It was not about God. Can I tell you, the message that's on your life is not about you. It's about him. You're nothing more than a paper plate that God wants to use to serve something amazing to hurting, lost people that don't know God. And then when it's over, then we get to go to heaven. Churches do not need to be about man. We don't need to get our eyes on man. We need to keep our eyes on the message of God. On Jesus. That's who we keep our eyes on. It's not on man. It's not on denominations. It's not on committees. It's not on influential people. It's not on those who seem spiritual. We keep our eyes on Jesus. Jonah got mad because his message didn't get heeded. His message. Well, it wasn't his message. He was nothing more than a mouthpiece. Well, every time I tell that person about the Lord, they reject me. I ain't telling them no more. They deserve what they get. They're not rejecting you. They're rejecting the message. Well, I'm not going to be friends. I'm not going to do anything else. I'm not going to cook brownies for that family anymore. They don't thank me. They're never going to come to church. You know what? Your next batch of brownies could be the thing that bring them to the Lord. You never know how God wants to touch somebody's heart. It goes on to say in verse 4, and the Lord replied, it is right for you to be angry. Is it right for you to be angry about this? See, here's where it gets a little embarrassing for us. Because there's a really pretty side of Christianity. The pretty side of Christianity is in obedience. When we as believers, or if you're a Christian and you love God and you want to be used by him and you've given your life to him, then there is a very pretty side of Christianity, and that's when you obey God. And when you obey God, God does some amazing things. God helps people. God blesses your child. God heals up your marriage. God uses you at work. God uses you maybe in school. When you obey God, amazing things happen. But then this is the other side of Christianity sometimes that we don't like to talk about, that's embarrassing, is when we disobey God. This is a window. This is one of those chapters sometimes that we would rather keep hidden. But it's a chapter that speaks honesty to us when we disobey God and when we do not follow God, or we do not want what God wants. See, God wanted to save them. Jonah wanted them destroyed. They were sorry people that he hated and he thought they were losers and they didn't deserve a second chance. I wonder who is in our life that we feel like God should not have mercy on them. They're just too far gone and I don't like them. Don't like them at all. Who is it we don't like that God loves? Come on, somebody. Can I have a better amen at 10 o'clock? See, God loves everyone. The other thing it teaches us is that God wanted to give them what they did not deserve. Jonah wanted them to get what they did deserve. See, the cross that Jesus died on is a sign and a symbol and a truth that says that we serve a God that sent his son so we do not have to get what we deserve. What we deserve was on him. Jonah wanted those Ninevites to get what they deserve. God was doing everything he could so they would, so that no one would get what they deserve. God doesn't want anyone to get what they deserve. God's heart was to enlarge. Jonah's heart was to close up. Jonah was angry. He was furious. He was narrow-minded. He was moody. He sulked. He even pouted. God said, I want to save him. Jonah said, I won't have anything to do with it. I don't like it. Don't like it at all. I mean, it's an amazing picture when you get into the rest of these verses where Jonah gets so upset that he goes and sits up on this high and lofty perch and he basically just waits on God to just destroy everybody. He's hoping for the worst. He's hoping to watch a barbecue of people. But that's not what happens. God goes the second mile. Let's pick up this story in verse 5 of Jonah chapter 4. Then Jonah went out to the east side of the city and made a shelter to sit under as he waited to see if anything would happen to that city. And the Lord arranged a leafy plant to grow there. And soon it spread its broad leaves over Jonah's head, shading him from the sun. This eased some of his discomfort. Watch this. And Jonah was grateful for the plant or the vine. But God also prepared a worm. The next morning at dawn, the worm ate through the stem of the plant so that it soon died and withered away. And as the sun grew hot, God sent a scorching east wind to blow on Jonah. The sun beat down on his head until he grew faint and wished to die. There he is again. Death is certainly better than this, he proclaimed. Then God said to Jonah, is it right for you to be angry because the plant died? And Jonah said, yep, sure is. Even angry enough to die. Then the Lord said, These verses, I just want to say, these verses will tell you so much about the character and nature and sovereign God that we serve that applies to where we're at today. Then the Lord God said, you feel sorry about a vine. You feel sorry about a plant, though you did nothing to put it there. And a plant is only at best short-lived. Watch God's heart. But Nineveh has 120,000 people in it. Not even to mention the animals. And they're all living in spiritual darkness. Shouldn't I feel sorry for such a great city? All that tells us so much. If you ever want to know, what is God like? What is God all about? I'm still trying to figure out who is God and what is God all about. That verse will tell you volumes about our Creator, a God that feels sorry enough for man that he sends a solution through his son, Jesus. I love verse 11, how it says it in the New King James. This is God. He says this in verse 11. And should I not pity? I would say, yes, Lord, please. Please pity. Leslie Allen writes this about the Jonah syndrome. Jonah lurks in every Christian's heart, whispering an insidious message of prideful prejudice, of empty jealousy, of a restricted religion, a passive piety, and an exclusive, narrow mercy. But just as the great fish coughed up Jonah, we too must eject from our hearts any Jonah that's within us. And you know what? Every once in a while, there's some Jonah that's in us. See, what Jonah shows us is to be connected with the heart of God, and the heart of God for the world is more than a general value. It's a connectedness of moment and detail. See, God required Jonah to go make a difference. And Jonah said, I think, God, you ought to do something about it, but I don't want to be involved with it. I think, yeah, people ought to get mercy, but don't use me to do it. God, I think, yeah, generally, it's good that you care about people, but if it inconveniences me, I don't think I'll do it. If it requires something of me, I don't think I'm going to be involved. And guess what God does? God says, it will require something of you. I picked you, I chose you, and you're going to go do what I want you to do. What an amazing window into the heart of God. Well, I thought I served God and I just do whatever I want. I thought this Christianity and just, you know, loving Jesus, it's just all about what I want. That's not what the Bible tells us. It's all about the heart of God. We live unto Him and we live for Him. We are His. Can I have a good amen? Amen. We are His. We're not our own. Over the last couple of days, I've just tried to let this verse get up beside my heart. I just said, Lord, I want this beside my heart. Because I don't want to read it and just think that it's for someone else. But I believe as this gets beside my heart, God, you'll tell me something about your nature and your heart. Because I want to have your heart for the world. I want to have your heart for my neighbors. I want to have your heart for the people that I'm around. Because people live forever somewhere, heaven or hell. And there may be moments that you want to use me to speak into that. That you want to use my reach and my serve and my help and my mouth and my outreach and my love and my little gift. You may want to use me to reach into that person's life. But I won't be able to do it if I don't have your heart. And you know, there are two things that stick out in these verses that really just got up against my heart. The first one is this. Just two thoughts. Real simple. The first one is this. I want God's compassion to be my compassion. God's compassion should be my compassion. Not kind of this or that compassion where you kind of choose who gets compassion and who doesn't get compassion. I'm not talking about a convenience compassion where it's convenient only to walk in compassion. I'm talking about compassion that gets a hold of our life because of what God has done in our life. See, Jonah had what we have sometime, and that is called grace amnesia. Yeah. You know what grace amnesia is? Grace amnesia is you forget the grace that came your way and you mean to everybody else. So you know what Jonah did? Jonah was happy when God saved him from the belly of the well, but he got angry when God saved Nineveh from the belly of hell. He didn't like it. He didn't think it was a good idea. But he wanted his grace. Oh, Lord, please, Mr. God. Came to Nineveh, burn them all up. They deserve it. I don't deserve it, but they deserve it. He was caught in this totally forgetting what God had done in his life. You know, sometimes it's easy to forget what God has done in our life. We get used to it. I mean, just being honest. I mean, it's just an honest moment. Sometimes we get used to what we have found in God. And we forget that there is a whole lot of people around us who they've not found that peace in Jesus. And they're going to live forever somewhere. I'll just give you kind of a little window, kind of true confession. Dino, we'll just deal with my issues. The other day I was studying for a message last Saturday. Man, I'm thinking, I got up early. Man, we got ball games, got a lot going on that day. Ooh, man, packed schedule, tight. We got to be here. I got up early. I'm studying. I'm reading the Word. I mean, just, you know, getting spiritual and just praying. Oh, yes, a healing place for a hurting world. I mean, I'm just working it, praying, studying. I'm focused. Had to run a quick errand, went a couple places. And so I'm thinking sermon, point one, you know, story, Jesus. I mean, I'm just working it all, thinking about where I got to go, got to get to the ball games, got to get back. Blah, blah. I walk in a store and I'm kind of looking for some things. And obviously the person behind the counter connected me that I was a pastor. He saw me. Okay, that's the guy from Healing Place, church, Healing Place. And somehow in that, he didn't realize I had a schedule. He forgot I was studying to preach. He had no idea that I was spiritual. And when I go up, I got stuff I'm putting on the counter. And this precious, he asked me about church out of nowhere. How easy a fishing does it get? God, just use me. He asked me about church, and guess what I did? I was so busy, I changed the subject. Okay, great. Okay, whatever. I'm just fogging all over the place. And he's, hey, what's your, I'm just like, hey, how about them Red Sox? Boy, that's great, okay. Don't look at me like you ain't ever done that. Just not engaged. Let's tell you my issue. I went and sat in the car, and it was like the Lord was like, Ah! What are you doing? Thank God for the Holy Ghost snap out. I snapped out. I was like, what am I doing? And I kind of came to myself and I got me a little card, wrote some things, went in there, spoke to this guy, and just when I walked, I just prayed for him. God, use him unlike you did me. I don't know who that other guy was. I think he's a preacher. But I'm the Christian. The other Dino, I'm not sure about him. Don't like him at all. But it was just, it revealed to me how that many times if I'm not careful, I have amnesia about my own grace that has come my way. The second thought I'll finish up with is I believe one of the things that we should let get up against our heart is where God's concerns become our concerns. God had a concern for Nineveh. God had a concern for people who live forever. Jonah did not have that concern. Jonah had a concern for himself, and Jonah had a concern for his comfort, and Jonah had a concern for a vine that grew to shade his bald head. He got concerned about those things, but he never got concerned about what God was concerned about. Never. This is where it really gets painful for us. God says to Jonah, should I not be concerned about those people? And Jonah has this major concern crisis. See, at times, I'm concerned about the wrong things. Found a new definition of spiritual maturity. Mine shifts and changes a lot. Here's my newest definition of spiritual maturity. Is that when God's concerns become my concerns? I believe that's spiritual maturity. It's when I'm concerned about what God's concerned about in my home. When I'm concerned about what God's concerned about in my workplace. When I'm concerned about what God's concerned about with my children. When I'm concerned about what God's concerned about in my neighborhood, in my city, in the world that I'm in. My concerns are God's concerns. See, it's when we allow secondary concerns to block and take away the energy of what God is concerned about. Do you know a lot of times if we're not careful, we will get concerned over things that 24 hours later don't even matter. But we've been real concerned about it. We've given a lot of energy. And 24 hours later, it's no longer even on the radar. It's no longer even a value in our life. But we got so concerned. I wonder when we go after that secondary concerns, do we miss a priority concern of God? Could we actually miss God's concern by being engrossed and engaged in a concern that doesn't matter 2 days later? I'll bring it home. It's when we care more about our dry cleaning than we do the dry cleaner who will live forever. In 6 hours, the shirt's going to be wrinkled, but guess what? That person's going to live forever. It's when we concern more about our manicure than we are our manicurist that may not even know the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's when we're more concerned about the food that we get, whether it's late or is it cooked right, and actually it's only going to be with us for a little bit. And matter of fact, we're going to have to eat again. Then we are concerned about the very person who will live forever somewhere. I mean, I've told you, and I don't mind telling the story again, about my Popeye's revelation. I mean, years ago, standing in Popeye's in Prairieville, sitting there just minding my own business, waiting on my three-piece. Come on, somebody. Just ordering her mile, getting me spicy because I like to live a little. I'm just up in Popeye's waiting in line. And man, there was some tension in the air. I walked into some tension. I don't know what was going on, but I guess about midway through, I realized that there was a man in there and his chicken was late. And he was having some problems with getting that dirty rice he wanted. There was some issue with some grape jelly. And man, it was tension in the room. And I remember sitting back there just kind of, it all unfolded before me. And I remember he walked out the door and I was like, whew. And he was an elderly gentleman. I think he was working about 70, and he was working about 270 on the scale end. He rolled back in the door and red face, I'll never forget standing there, red face as can be, huffing and puffing. I mean, big guy, red face, older gentleman. He's going, "Where's my biscuit? Where's my biscuit?" And I'm thinking, that dude's going to die in Popeyes trying to get a biscuit that he doesn't even need. I'll never forget sitting back there watching all this thinking, oh my gosh, cardiac over strawberry jelly. He just berating these precious women, these precious ladies that matter to God, that probably were there all day long, that could have drove a bus out here to work in Prairieville to give people chicken, could have left their kids at home, and he is just railing them over biscuits. You know what I thought about? He's going to have a heart attack. I mean, he's holding his chest. Oh, biscuit. Oh, biscuit. Everybody's just like, oh. Because we're all looking, if he drops, we ain't giving him mouth to mouth. I ain't doing it. He's going to eat again. He will eat again. When he walked out of that room, I'll never forget, that lady looked at me and said, "What do you want?" "Whatever you give me, honey. Piece of toast. I don't care. I just eased my little order in." You know what I did? I felt the Holy Spirit said, "Edify them. Encourage them today." And I'll never forget, about 6-7 years ago, I looked at those ladies. I said, I want everybody to know I value you. I appreciate you. I thank you for what you do. And I want you to know God loves you and you're important to God. And we just, you know, thank God. You know, glory, amen. Red beans and rice for Jesus. I'm into it. Bless you, bless you, bless you, bless you. You know, and you know what I thought? You know, here's the thing. It's not worth that. I mean, here's the thing. Because I don't do it all the time. Here's what I thought. I felt like the Lord told me when I went in the car. I felt like the Lord said, "Don't love things that don't matter to me. That man loves things that don't even matter." Can I tell you, angry people will never touch the world? Moody, furious, demanding, ill, hot, angry people will never make a difference in people's lives. And God dealt with my heart. Quit making what I don't see important as important. Make sure you don't let anything get in between your concern for people like my concern for people. I wrote these last few things down. See, Jonah loved his vine. Jonah loved his plant to the point where he neglected people. Does what concerned Dino get in between what concerns God? You know, if I were to be honest with you, I'd tell you this. I'm glad that the person who led me to Jesus Christ when I was 18 years old, I crossed the line of faith. I received Jesus Christ as my Savior. I became born again. My destination from hell to heaven changed like that when I received Christ as my Savior. I'm glad that person who led me to Christ saw me as a greater concern than anything else he could have done that day. Anything else he could have done that day. I'm sure he had a yard to tend to. Nothing wrong with tending to yard. I'm sure he had a camp to go to. Nothing wrong with going to the camp. I'm sure he had shopping to tend to. Nothing wrong with going to shopping. But that day, he made another concern priority. Because you know what I believed? I believed he knew that there were going to be some people that he ran in today that were going to live forever somewhere. And maybe his effort, maybe his love, maybe his reach, maybe his words, maybe his discomfort could make a difference between heaven and hell in someone's life. And I stand here 14 years later and tell you, it made a difference in my life. I'm so glad he was concerned about something other than himself. I had a conversation with the Lord yesterday as I read this and just said, "Lord, I don't want to speak something that you're not even... You know, this is not being birthed in my own life." And I felt like the Lord said, "Dino, I'm concerned with lost people. I'm concerned with the world that doesn't know me. I'm concerned with hurting people. I'm concerned with broken people. What are you concerned about? And you know what my prayer was? I said, Lord, not another day wasted on things and stuff that is not important to you. Not another moment, not another minute, not another hour, not another day, not another week on things that are just not important. But help me to value people that live forever in one of two places. Amen. Could you imagine a church where 4,000 or 5,000 people said, God's compassion will be my compassion? Could you imagine one week in our community where 5,000 people said, God's concerns will be my concern? I'm going to make what's important to God important to me this week. It's going to begin in my home. It's going to begin in my relationships. And it's going to begin everywhere I go, because you just never know where God may send you this week. Can I tell you this? Don't run from him. Don't run from him. Run to him. Amen. So I'll bow our heads and let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you, Lord, for what you're doing. And we pray right now in Jesus' name, God, that you would touch every single heart in this room. Lord, I thank you that you know what's happening. You know what's going on. And Lord, it's not as if you don't know that we live in a world full of distractions. There's always been distractions, even in the Garden of Eden. And in our garden, there's still distractions. I pray for a room full of men and women, young and old, that will make your compassion their compassion by the power of the Holy Spirit. And that will make your concern their concern. God, we want that in our life. Jesus, we love you, Lord. Father, I pray that there are not things in our life that have been so important that has got us so off base, so off track. I thank you, Father, for having your heart. Having your heart. We want that, God, because we want to be used by you. We want to be used by you in an amazing way. In an amazing way. We love you, Jesus. Hey, can you look up here real quick? Let me just say something to you. You know, we gave these out. I just thought about this. We're giving these out when you leave, or we gave them out when you came in. It's the wildest thing. It says HP Kids Africa. Take this home, you put quarters in it, and then you bring it here. And those quarters all come together, thousands of them. And it'll send people to an area of the world that's just tough. I've been there. I saw some of the greatest poverty I've ever seen in my life, where our church is. I never forget seeing a mom underneath a tree with three children living on a piece of canvas. And the only thing she had was a 5-gallon bucket. That's where she lived. Under a tree, canvas, 5-gallon bucket. And it's amazing how we can come together and put these things together. And then together we can touch the world. People that matter to God. You say, does that even concern God? That concerns God. I can tell you what concerns God. It's lost people who don't know God. Some of the things that we let concern us, they're not concerning God. There's some things that are important to us. I'm telling you right now, they're not important to God. There's a few things. We've got to be honest enough to look at that in our life. Just say, Lord, I'm going to make your priorities my priorities. How many right now you just say, I probably need a priority check? Amen? I probably need a priority check. Holy Spirit can do that. Let's just join hands right here. Just join hands with the person next to you. It's a great idea right here. Father, we pray for the person to our right or our left. We pray that they would have your compassion. And we pray that they would have your concern. We just want that. Lord, I pray that if there's anybody in this room that they've made other things more important than you. I pray right now, we just repent of it. We just repent. We're sorry. God, we shouldn't have done that. We shouldn't say that. We shouldn't be concerned about those things. And we ask you right now to forgive us. Come on, all over this room, just say, God, forgive me. Forgive me for being worried, concerned, caught up with things that don't even matter. Let your heart be in me. Let's all pray this together. Say, Jesus, I give you my heart. I surrender all. I lay it all down. All my concerns, all the things that I think are important, and I lay them at your feet. And I pray right now that by the power of the Holy Spirit, that you would shed abroad your love in my heart so that your compassion can be my compassion. And that what concerns you will concern me. Give me eyes to see. Give me ears to hear. Those around me that need you. And use me, Lord. Say that again. Use me, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, turn to that person next to you and say, I really liked holding your hand. I liked it. I'll meet you back here next week. Hey, have a great week. God bless you. See you next week.